This is a letter. From an 85-year-old man. At 3 a.m. was well up on the Mount of Transfiguration. If I do not accept and take my sonship, the invisible, incorporeal, spiritual consciousness, the firstborn, the Christ of God, then the trip to the Mount has been lost and useless, and I will remain a mere non-existent human. Therefore, I am the Son, the living Christ of God. And then oneness came in the fullness. God is all. All of what? The universe and all that dwells therein. God is my mind, life, soul, being. God is living as me, writing this letter, revealing himself on this mount of consciousness. Then, is not an individual in or on this universe? No, there is not an individual in or on this universe. There is only God, whether it is a butterfly, hummingbird, or a bullfrog. All there is the sacredness of God. He goes on. How many people at 85 are thinking this way? It's fairly legible, too. I can read it very easily. And he ends and says, the distance vision is fair. I think he can see better than I can. The distance vision is fair. Now, this man was 85 a month ago. You may have seen him in this class some months back. And he's in a peace. But he's in more than a peace. He's in a growing peace. He's not afraid. He's not living, as most people do his age, in a sort of a semi-retreat, escaping from things. He's probably living in a greater newness than many people we know, because he has caught the living spirit. The 12 stones are the living spirit. We learn that they are quite similar to the Beatitudes. When Jesus reveals, blessed is the peacemaker, the pure at heart, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, we find he's really giving us what later becomes the 12 stones. But there's a pattern in the 12 stones that we have to look at. Speaking of them, we're in the New Jerusalem, in the new city, the new consciousness. And these 12 stones are revealed as the qualities which are Christ consciousness in action. When you are in Christ consciousness, these are your qualities. And when these are your qualities, you're in Christ consciousness. Now, although it isn't said here, the very first beginning, before these 12 stones can form the foundation of your consciousness, you must have accepted your spiritual self as your only self. Then the foundation walls are formed. And the foundation of the wall of the city, the foundations of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. He goes on and names the 12 stones. Now we'll start with the jasper. The stones are used because light comes through them. And so you must be like the stones, letting light come through you. Light only comes through light. So you must be accepting yourself to be the light before these foundations can be built. And so I am the Spirit of God, and now the first foundation can happen, and that is called the Jasper Stone. And you will find that it means the pure at heart. It means that you have opened yourself to the will of God. You have accepted that you are to be a transparency for that will, and that will alone. Not your will, not mother's will, not father's will, not husband's will, not wife's will, nobody's will, but the will of the Father in you. And this is the Jasper Stone, the first foundation of spiritual life. That I accept myself to be the Spirit, and only the will of Spirit in me. The will of the kingdom of God in me is the only will to which I can hearken. And now this is the first foundation. And as that will is accepted, you come to the second foundation, which is another stone. And this stone is the sapphire. The sapphire represents the wisdom that begins to flow through you as living revelation. Now that you are accepting the will, you have opened your soul to the Spirit within, and because of it, living revelation flows through you as wisdom. And this sapphire stone is the second foundation of living truth, righteousness, the will expressing in you as divine revelation is your second foundation stone in spiritual living. The treasures of the kingdom flowing into your awareness from the invisible. And you see, this is but the second stone. Now I think we come to the chalcedony. And this is the stone of love. Now in you, love builds a foundation, whereas before it might have been a personal, selfish love. Now divine love, flowing through the soul which is open to the will and the wisdom, forms another foundation. And this divine love flowing in and through you establishes the kingdom of love as the consciousness of your being. And you remember, Paul said, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so this foundation of divine love in you makes possible the emerald stone, which is the fourth dimension. It is the fourth stone and the fourth dimension. The emerald stands for not the full achievement of the fourth dimension. It is the beginning of a recall about the fourth dimension. And in this recall, as glimpses of the fourth dimension become part of your memory recall, your faith is deepened and strengthened. And out of this comes a confidence. A confidence in the invisible perfection of spirit. The emerald then signifies here your awareness of invisible perfection in all things, and your confidence and ability to stand on it with an unswerving faith. You started out by opening yourself to the inner will, releasing human self, human will, receiving wisdom, then love, and now faith is crystallized, the confidence that spirit being present and all, perfection is present. And at the same time, you see, you are not reacting to the appearances of evil. These are your foundations. Now the sardonyx, and then the sardius. With this newfound faith, the sardonyx stone stands for your ability to redeem the appearances and to perceive through them the reality that is there. You see, the Father within is really doing the works. You are an instrument for the divine, and no matter what forms may come to your attention, no matter what distortions may appear, always this new found level of consciousness called, in this case, the sardonyx, is just another stage of your developing Christ consciousness, which now enables you to look through the appearances. Now your work is more effortless than it was, and deepens into the sardius stone. And this is the realization of the infinite glory all around you. You have transcended the appearances. You're in the sixth stone of realization. You know that you walk in the invisible heaven on earth. Now, in that consciousness, the seventh stone is the beginning of the manifestation of your new consciousness into the visible. Now that you have opened to the omniscience, the love, the power, the wisdom, have deepened in faith, this chrysolite, which is the gold stone, begins to show forth the fruits of your new consciousness. And this is called the new earth. It comes from the appearance of the stone. It's a sort of an apple green. And this is the new earth being made manifest through the new consciousness. The transformation is becoming visible. The word is manifesting as the flesh of experience. You begin to feel now the fruits of your work as health, as prosperity, as a sense of peace, as a sense of life progressing and fulfilling itself. The inner spirit is being made manifest in the seventh stone. The eighth, which is the beryl, stands for tenacity. It is that quality in you now which, having tasted the fruits of the Spirit, is dissatisfied until you are able to make the word flesh in every case. This is called the written word, the beryl, and that means that you're not satisfied with opinions. You're not satisfied with conjecture or hypotheses. You want definite demonstrable proof. And so you are in that pertinacious stage that wrestles with the adversary until the truth that you know within is made manifest in the without, and that's the eighth stage of this particular consciousness, identified here as the beryl stone leading to the topaz. And now the within becomes the without. The topaz signifies the inner realization of harmony made visible as harmony in your life. You see, the sequence then of these stages is that as you have opened to the awareness of self as spirit, the will moving through you brings with it the infinite varieties of divine spirit activity, just like the sap through a tree. And you become the living tree of life. All of the light is coming through these new stones of your consciousness. And in the topaz, you're reaching that place where the new heaven on earth is bursting all around you. You're walking in the visible kingdom of God. Others may not see this, but you do. And this continues to deepen. This next stone is like the chrysolite, but now it's a love that you are able to share with others. You are now able to bless the world around you. This love that flowed through you is loving your neighbor. And this is that invisible love made visible as you're blessing your neighbors and lifting them spiritually. This is the chrysophragus stone. You are now blessing those around you, for the light of your own being is shining forth. And then we come to that stone which is called not the hyacinth, but the jacinth. And you'll discover that one, though it is a flower and the other a stone, they are sisters. They come from the same derivative, the hyacinth and the jacinth. And this is where the red blood of spirit is your spiritual consciousness. The wine, the ruby. All that you are now is living spiritual consciousness. And that brings you up to the 12th stage, the amethyst, which is the peace that passeth understanding. All of the stages of consciousness have welled into one, the amethyst stage, or the peace that passeth understanding, the deep purple. And now you are in the secret place of the Most High. And that secret place of the Most High is the knowledge that I am the Son of the Living God. I am Spirit. And beside me, there is no other. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the law. These 12 stones are the progression each of us goes through from humanhood to spiritual consciousness to that ability to rest in the peace of being, for now fear is impossible. Now death is impossible. Now problems are impossible. They are merely appearances that are dispelled by the light of your own being without effort. Now, if you go back to the loaves and fishes, you'll remember that when the loaves and fishes were multiplied and all had been fed, there were 12 baskets full. And now you can see for the first time the meaning of those 12 baskets full. The 12 baskets signify the spiritual consciousness, the Christ consciousness that made possible the multiplication of a few loaves and fishes. And 12 signifies 12,000 or 12 million or 12 billion. 12 signifies infinite. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 times 12,000 waiting in the wings. To come forth upon the earth to lift mortals into divinity. 144,000, all implying the same thing. The infinite nature of spirit is the nature of your being. And when you come to the 12th or the amethyst stage, this is infinity realized. For I am spirit means I am infinity itself. And that is the discovery that Jesus made when he discovered that man, as he stands, is not the divine image. The divine image must be infinity itself. And because the divine image is the Son of God, until you get down to the very first step of the foundation, this progression in consciousness does not occur. And then, without the divine wisdom flowing, there is no omniscience there at work to recognize itself for you. And we are held back into a finite state of life with a finite beginning and a finite ending. When these 12 stones are completed, a very beautiful thing happens. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is the permanent Christ consciousness which is the fulfillment of the Father's statement, be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven. This is you and I at the level of our real self. Now let's get down to mundane things and see that all that we have read in these 12 stones is already established as the truth of our being now. We're not going to attain that. We're going to drop the belief that we are not that and discover that we are. Because the Father says, be perfect, and the Father is all power, no power has prevented that perfection, and you therefore are perfect. All of these stones already are the established consciousness of yourself. And as you drop the false self, the reality of yourself expresses without the hindrance of a second consciousness which is finite dense, unable to perceive and comprehend that which is quicker than its own level of vibration. And so we die. We die with a great joy to this false consciousness. For we are being born into reality. There is a very beautiful statement you may never have heard, that you may never even notice in the Bible, and I've got to read it to you. I made a note here of it. This is John 5:26, and I don't believe it's ever been explained. But it fell into place through this. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now that doesn't have any meaning at first. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. But as you dwell on that, it's telling us that we are self-existent. And that translated means that your life is self-existent and did not depend on the life of your mother or your father. That you are life itself. It is revealing that spirit, which is your being, is life. And your spiritual self did not descend from a mother and a father. And of course, we know by now that that is what Jesus was teaching. That he was not laboriously constructed in the womb. He was self-existent life. And the form which appeared was the illusion, misperceived by finite consciousness. We are each that self-existent life which the Father has bequeathed to the Son. That means we have ever been this life. We have ever been Christ conscious. And the glass darkly that is now being removed is the false conditioning of humanhood through the years, through the centuries, that has made us separate in our belief from our very own self. Divided. The way back are those three words. Now you remember that last week we worked with, there is no place where God is not. And one woman said to me, it really works. People will say things that I don't agree with, and people will say this, and people will do that, and I'll keep saying to myself, there's no place where God is not. And then there are others who have found that in their normal human consciousness, they may look out on a situation that is quite unbearable, and they may feel its reality. Whereas before they may have had a statement like, the place whereon I stand is holy ground. What about that place over there where the problem is? And now they have a different statement, which is the same thing. There is no place where God is not. And now you can't wriggle out of it. Right over there where the problem is, there is no place where God is not. So right over there, God is. And if God is there, you know the problem really isn't there. What about this ambulance over here? But there's no place where God is not. And God must be right where there seems to be a need for an ambulance. But where's the witness to know that there's no place where God is not? And right here in my chest, the doctor says malignancy, but there's no place where God is not. Now who's right? Is God there or is the doctor right? And as you stand with that truth, there's no place where God is not, you find the power of it, because it is the truth. And when it's accepted in consciousness, it becomes a release. You can look at any condition, any problem, and realize that there is no place where God is not. And God and the malignancy do not coexist. They cannot be in the same place at the same time. God and the earthquake cannot coexist. God and the flood, God and the fire. Wherever God is realized to be, for there's no place where God is not, then the opposite of God cannot be there. Now, after you've worked with that, you come now to I Am Spirit. There is no place where Spirit is not, for Spirit is God. And therefore, right here Spirit is, and therefore I Am Spirit. And finally, I Am Spirit here, but what about over there? Is that a different Spirit? Or is it the one continuous, uninterrupted, indivisible Spirit? And then you have the secret of infinity functioning as your being invisibly. I Am Spirit. And there is no other Spirit in this universe. For my Spirit is universal. It is the one, infinite Spirit. This is where the power lies. And this is the infinity realized in the 12th stage of that consciousness called the Christ consciousness. Now, when you practice with there is no place where God is not and or I Am Spirit, you will discover a turning, and you will begin this progression of the 12 stones in the 21st chapter of Revelation. You will discover they are very similar to the Beatitudes, somewhat similar to what Moses taught, even similar to some of the beginning of the book of Genesis. But they are the way you stay on the path. If you're wondering, what do I do and how do I it, that's how you do it. And then in your fidelity to each step along the way, letting the will express itself in you, it will make the other steps for you. You will simply be a witness to Christ living itself as you. Now, these are all of the beginning things that we have to come to if we're going to live in the fourth dimension of consciousness while walking in the third. And so next week, when I Am Spirit sits in these chairs, the consciousness that you bring and I bring will enable us to receive a higher and deeper degree of truth than we could at this very instant. Always, this will be a deepening process made possible by our fidelity to the will of the Father in us. We are overcoming death so that we can go on to the greater things. Maybe we haven't yet taken the ribbon off the package, but that's the beginning of our Christmas present from Spirit. And I'm sure by the time Christmas rolls around, our package will be open and revealed. So I thank all of you for being here today and hope to see you soon.
Thank you.